So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored as always by Axis Communications, and thanks to our supporting partner 3X Logic. Also, now my guest this week is, I guess, what you would call a serial entrepreneur is probably the best hat. Guy Yehave from not one, but now two huge exits in First Demantra, and more recently Profitec, which many of you listening today will, of course, know about. Prior to that, Guy was quite well known for his turnaround of Oracle's supply chain go-to-market strategy. I think maybe in the dim and distant past, probably about 2005 through to 2010. I love all the random facts that come out. We've got the guitars in the background, as we'll see in a minute. A bachelor's degree in computer science from Shenker College in Israel. MBA in entrepreneurship from Babson. Originally from Israel. 4 years in Belgium before he got deported. No, I think it was an honest move. To Massachusetts, where he has called home for 22 years now. So, Guy, it's always an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
So, one of the things I like to do is stalk people and have a little peek on their LinkedIn profile. So, I want you to talk to me about what you're doing now, and if I just pick three things that stood out for me that appear to be current and present, we've got Yehave Stealth, Forbes Technology Council, and lastly Smart Sense, which I do want to talk to you about. But start at the top of the list. What is Stealth?
So I'm working on something. I was working more, now less on it, on helping startups make a leap forward in growth. And so what I did is I actually kept two board seats on two startups, and I will reveal those two probably in the next 2-3 months. Okay. They are in supply chain. One of them is in actually technology, helping technology companies sell better. The other one is more in supply chain. And that's just my passion. That's what I like doing. So that's what I do for fun. Okay. Besides that, my main 150% of the time is managing Smart Sense business, and ready to talk about it a little bit more and double click on it soon with you.
Yeah, it's now you touched on this last time we spoke, and that's what really piqued my interest. I love the approach. So, and it sounds a little bit left field, but the more you delve into it, it's not for our audience. Food safety, restaurant, grocery, compliance. Fascinating what you're doing. Give us the overview of the concept and the tech, and then we can maybe dive into some of the details.
So yeah, SmartSense is part of Digi, which has been in business for 35 years, right? Digi boards to some of us that built PCs in the early, late 80s. And Digi have transformed to Internet of Things, cell towers, you know, a lot of hardware. SmartSense has been building been built for over the last six years. And SmartSense is all about Internet of Things to help our customers secure, comply, serve the customers. And the pillars include healthcare, hospitals, retail pharma, retail grocery, food service, both K-12, like education, right? Where you have food service. As well as restaurants, obviously, and anything in between. There's also something called others, like hotels, etc. The nice thing about it is that there's a lot of hardware, a lot of sensors. I am a believer that those sensors, which is under the IT pillar, are just there to collect data. But you know, what do they actually do to generate value? Well, you need to create the physical flow, right? Because you have the physical, which is, well, the inventory is there sitting. And then you have the digital. What's the temperature? What's the humidity? What's the movement? Do I even have what I think I have? And then based on all of that, you want to start guiding people to do better things and impact value and impact the customer journey. And that's what we're doing at SmartSense. We're actually collecting all the hardware. We have a lot of great, amazing hardware, but a lot of our customers have other people's hardware. And so we want to collect all of that. I'll give you an example. In one of the hospitals, the hospitals guys are telling us, hey, we need, I have a CO2 that I need to monitor in one of the rooms. Well, connect that to our gateway. We already have a gateway. We're already sensing all of the other things for you. Let's just connect that. So we're connecting other sensors, and then we turn it around and operationalize what needs to be done using prescriptive analytics in order to impact customer journey. And if you think about food safety, so food, there's a lot of people in food safety pillars. Hey, I need to comply with the regulations. And there's a lot of different regulations. Every state in the US have a different regulation, right? In the UK, you have different regulation. In Europe, you have in every one of the countries different regulations. So the idea is regulation is all good, but the regulations are there to secure customer health. What else is there is that you would like the customer not just to secure their health, but have an enjoyable trip, the customer journey. And so we elevate the game for the food safety, linking it with what we know from loss prevention as well. So you have IT sensors, food safety, compliance, regulations, and then you also have the waste factor on the shrink side.
So if I understand correctly, because, you know, even today in many, you know, hotel, restaurant, grocery businesses, the temperatures are still, they might be centrally or monitored within the store, but often people still go to them and log them and check product temperature and collect that audit. So if I understand correctly, are you saying you're sort of, you're automating that process, but then actually, are we talking about stock management as well? You know, and you touched on shrinkage and loss there. You see that coming in as an element also?
It's all of the above. That's part of the value. It's no longer just, hey, let's buy something on an Amazon or a Walmart or a Tesco that will just measure the temperature. Because you can buy it, but that's one unit. What if you have 1,000 stores? In every store, you have 5 refrigerators, 4 freezers, right? And so the idea is we build our own hardware, but there's other hardware that is typically, you know, could also work. You put them in the refrigerator in the different zones. It has batteries for about 2 or 3, 4 years. So you set it and forget it. It measures humidity, temperature, movement. It has an accelerometer in it. It has a magnetometer in it. So it can actually find out if the power has stopped, right? So it finds the root cause of the temperature change. And then it very accurately monitor on a continuous basis all the temperature. That's one type of sensor. But we have other sensors. What about the walk-ins? Right? The huge walk-ins, refrigerators. All of it is metal. And so you need a sensor that can actually sense and send it to something outside, the gateway that will then feed it on a continuous basis, both for regulation and for safety. But what about the food manufacturing? You know, in the supermarkets and the groceries, you're making food too. What about checking that the chicken is in the right temperature? What about checking the pizza is in the right temperature? There's certain regulation that tells you to do. So we also have a probe that it tells the person serving the food, hey, you should now take the probe, touch the chicken, all good, continue on. And so it was great to see that we have I'll give you an example. One of our customers that I visited 2 weeks ago in Midwest, she was telling me that, hey, it's all good, but sometimes with all the noise, I don't hear the alert to go and check it. Can you put a lamp that will actually flash? And within 48 hours, we put a lamp. And so now for people that are in noisy places, we put a lamp. It's also helped with AIDA. What about people that have hearing impairment? And so we put lamp, which alerts you, then go and touch the chicken. And then, but the idea is also food safety regulation, but also customer satisfaction, compliance, and then linking it to shrink. Because what if you made too much chicken? At the end of the day, it will hurt not the food safety person, but it will hurt the loss prevention person, who will actually have high waste, right? And the loss prevention person may report to different person, let's say HR, operation. Food safety may report to regulation, audit, CFO, legal, right? And so we are actually helping them to go cross and break silos using IT sensors, break silos between food safety, compliance, regulation, and loss prevention. And I think that's the beauty. That's the change. That's the thing that comes now to mind.
And the bit that sounds exciting to me, knowing how virtually every risk or loss prevention director complains about budget, is that whenever you've got something that ticks a compliance or a regulation box, it often becomes a must-have. And then if other departments can make use of that technology, they get all of the benefit. And I know the company pays, but internally it comes from somebody else's budget. So I get my shrink figures to look better, but compliance has just made the investment to put the technology in.
Totally right. However, sometimes, and I've heard that before, the compliance people may say, hey, you know what? Just go and check it manually. That will comply, right? And then the food safety actually reach out to build value pillars that are much bigger in order to actually buy a system to do it automatically. Because when you do it automatically, you hit labor, you reduce attrition, right? Because people do not like, I mean, if your job was to just go and check all the temperature around the, people don't like doing it. Maybe they're getting paid to do it, but they don't like doing it. So when you actually add all the IoT and all the sensors and all the digitalization, you have these people that used to do it do other things that are much more, contribute much more to the business, and they like it more. And so there's other value pillars that you can play with. And as you said, the big scheme is, hey, we can help all of them.
And the funny thing is, you talk about, I remember being given that job in a very large grocery supermarket as a management trainee a long, long time ago. And what always amazed me, because you'd go with the probe and you'd put it down and you'd go and put another one down, and then come back to allow it time to find its temperature. It used to amaze me how many we lost. the amount of, you know, in some of the certain areas of the country, something technology looking, which was left there, it wasn't there when you went back.
Yes.
So barely a week went by where there wasn't another one of these coming through the door. So the moment we made the transition to automated, it was a big step forward. Now, you mentioned there that you've got customers using this already. So yeah, I haven't heard of this type of solution, but it sounds like you've already got guys and girls predominantly in the US. Are they trialing this technology? Has it made full rollout? Where are you in the sort of getting into the market phase?
So when we started 6 years ago, we started with a pharma and healthcare, because that's where you need the highest accuracy, the continuous monitoring, and the highest regulation, right? And so you can imagine that helped us. And we went really high on growth through the pandemic. Because through the pandemic, you needed someone that can actually measure a minus 72 Fahrenheit for Pfizer. And if it was not, you needed to alert it, because you have only a certain window that you can still change it back. And otherwise, you need to use it within 36 hours, right? And so, you know, you have a, hey, free vaccine for everyone, right? Because I have to use it. But so we actually grew really, really fast in pharma and healthcare. And then we saw that, hey, people, because we're so accurate, we're so scalable in pharma, retail pharma got adjusted to it. So all, you know, the Walmart, the Walgreens, the Rite Aid bought it from us and implemented it. But then the front store said, hey, I have a lot of refrigerators, and can I use the gateway that you already have in the back in the pharma to use on the front? And then I don't need much investment. I don't need to install anything besides those small factor sensors to throw into the refrigeration. Now, tell you the truth, they don't really care if the lettuce is at 39 Fahrenheit or at 43 Fahrenheit, right? It's the lettuce. But because we are so accurate, they rely on us from scalability and other things and the reliability. And so we start moving into grocery, and we have some amazing grocers today that are using us at both freezers and refrigerations. And now we are helping them with all kinds of different task management on top of it. Because when we know that a certain machine, a certain facility, certain door, certain facility, certain machine is about to break, we can actually then prescribe something. Hey, go to this refrigerator. The door is not closing good. Right? I mean, it's down to that level. And we also identify if you overstock it because the temperature then change. So they start using us for other things. And a lot of time they're using us for all task management because they don't want another application. We're already running. We're running on both, you know, iPhones, Zebra device, any Android device. And we're very easy to use, very easy to use. You can imagine people that are working, you know, in the kitchen use it. People that are working in the front office use it. Store managers use it. Regional managers use it. And just recently, I spoke with a very large restaurant chain in the US, very large, headquartered in Florida. And they were doing a contest, you know, because everyone likes gamification nowadays. And it was checking the reliability and the adoptions of those probe checking through making the food. And we actually, the region that was the least adopted within 2 weeks was the first. And it was only because, hey, it was people likes to win. It was not because of the gift. Listen, the gift was a $50 certificate. Awesome. But people likes winning. And so when you start gamifying your day-to-day job, like Peloton type, right? Yeah. They all want to be on the pedestal. And we ended up with average of 96% adoption across a lot of stores. This company has a lot of restaurants. And so when you do that, you minimize any fee or violation risk because everyone is compliant. So, you know, that's what I like about where we are. We are impacting people's jobs, making it easier, making it fun. We're impacting customer journey. We're impacting safety regulation. And we're growing at the same time.
These days, surveillance cameras aren't just for monitoring a specific area, because with analytics, those cameras can do so much more. Like with any new development, there has been some hype, some disappointments, and lots of new options for the collection and use of data. Axis enables a smarter and safer world by creating network solutions that provide insights for improving security and new ways of doing business. For more information about Axis, please visit our website, www.axis.com.
Just touching on that regulation piece. So in many jurisdictions, you have to be able to show compliance. So you know, have a log somewhere. Is there a system where, you know, there's a report that's available if somebody comes in and wants to check it? Are you adapting those based on local legislation? Are you really taking this all the way through to the point where we can go, actually, we don't even need to keep that manual log anymore because it's in an app, it's on a spreadsheet, whatever the process is? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in pharma, it's the highest regulation. And in pharma, you do need to keep it, I think, like 5 years in certain states. But we keep it. They don't need to think about it. It's just being kept right on the cloud. And it's continued to run. But in pharma, you actually have something called the NIST process, NIST. And in this process, you calibrate. Now, our hardware is so accurate, you do not need to calibrate it. However, the state regulation is that you need to showcase that you calibrate it every 2 years. And so we have this process that we run, and we automatically, automagically, as I like to say, calibrate it, register it, keeping it on the dock. And so when someone from the state come and ask for it, you have it all ready. And so you don't need even to think about it. So labor efficiency, effectiveness, one less thing to worry about. In food, you do need to actually have all of it. And most restaurants are actually doing it, logging it manually. With us, it's all automatically being kept. And so when you need something, you can actually just go and report on it.
And what's the, I mean, obviously the goal is that your technology is in every piece of refrigeration on the planet, I'm sure. But in reality, primarily trials and rolled out in the US, I think you said before we came on air, you're going to be sort of popping into a few shows and various bits and pieces to talk about this. But is it then coming outside of North America? is it being calibrated for around the world? Where is it sitting? Because knowing you and your track record, it's not just going to operate within the state confines of Massachusetts. It's probably got a bigger goal.
So two topic. Number one, from a regional perspective, we're right now in North America. We're focusing on a lot of successes here. I think that the total addressable market here is big enough. We just started to resell in Costa Rica, actually. I was also on vacation there recently. It's an amazing country. Recommend everyone to go there. And we're going to see how it goes, because we do have our gateways are global. So you can actually connect it to any cellular tower, Wi-Fi and cellular. We are very unique in that, by the way. We have cellular fallback or cellular primary, as well as we can do Wi-Fi. We can power on Ethernet or power on. So if you have a CCTV, right, we can actually connect our gateway to the CCTV on 5 volts and just have power over Ethernet, which is huge. But the idea is to find partners elsewhere. And so anyone watching it would like to partner with us and bring it to your own country, please do reach out to me, guy at yechiav.com or guy.yechiav@digi.com. And we'll be great to talk. Our idea is to obviously go into the country where labor is more expensive. It's easier to get into because we automatically do things. And so definitely UK, Europe, Australia will be on our agenda. But we would like to find partners to help us bring it in and have foot on the ground to serve customers. And so what I'm looking for is referenceability on what the customers will say about you if you want to become a partner. Speaking on conferences, yes, like your Australian amazing conference that I wish I could fly in and be with you. Is the good news is that people are starting to get face-to-face conferences again. So the next one is FMI for us in Orlando. We're going to FMI by the end of March. If you're a loss prevention folks or grocery folks that you're going to FMI, please do reach out. It will be great to have a drink with you and tell you a little bit more stories. After being here for 6 weeks, I have a lot of stories already. Some good, some bad, some ugly. But the good news is that for us, customers comes first. And we have a lot of reference customers to speak about. And then after that, I'm going to RLPSA, which is a loss prevention security risk and safety for food service and restaurants. It's in Denver, April 10 to 13th. Definitely recommend that. Definitely recommend that. It's in Denver, very easy to get to. Typically 60, 70 people, so not a lot, but really concentrated. And then I hear Paul, you're going to have some conferences in the US. So I'm definitely going to join you on that.
There is rumors that the US side of retail risk might be popping back up again. So I keep getting told that we're going to be doing it by people that tell me they're sponsoring the event. So
sign me up.
Presumptive close, yeah. So there you go. And then finally, I just have to ask, in terms of where you see the future for it, obviously it's got huge functionality already and benefit, but what's in the pipeline for this? Where on earth can this go in the future?
Well, our gateways are just fantastic. Using now Bluetooth, Zigbee, and soon the LoRa gateway. And anyone that knows the technology side, so as I said, there's a safety, the IT, and the loss prevention on the IT side. If you tell them LoRa, they would know what it means. But what it is, the LoRa protocol allows you to cover much bigger, wider, and it has a protocol that all sensors can adhere to. And so the idea is to collect all the sensors in a 10 miles radius, if we can, or 10 kilometers, actually, that LoRa supports, and be able to sense with all the sensors and convert it into actionability and prescriptive action. So in a year from now, I'll have more stories about those, and you can cover, you know, the whole country with sensors and ability to guide people what they should do to have an optimized outcome based on physical, digital, physical syndrome. So process.
I have read a little bit about that technology, and I'm still trying to get my head around it, but it almost looks too good to be true in terms of what it can do, but everything I've read says that it works and it's coming. So yeah, fascinating to see. I also thought it was interesting that the first, if you like, overseas territories, Costa Rica, I wonder whether we're going to have just a cascade of places that you want to go on holiday coming online first. But to be fair, if you look at the retail risk calendar, it doesn't really go to anywhere that we don't want to visit. We always stop off in nice places at the right time of the year. So I'm not sure whether we're copying you or you're copying us, but it seems to make a good sense too. Guy, it's always a pleasure. I find it fascinating to keep an eye on you and what you're up to. Your track record is terrific. Clearly, you've got another fascinating piece of technology that I'm sure is going to be a huge winner and already is. I look forward to bumping into you at a physical conference somewhere fabulous. Who knows? Maybe we should meet in Costa Rica and you can show me what's going on there. But for now, Guy, absolutely amazing as always. Thank you so much indeed. And see you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you for having me.
The top people from the top organizations with the latest thinking about the best strategies to use in the greatest industry on earth, retail. The Retail Conference from the Retail Bulletin, exclusively at Retech Europe, 8th and 9th of November. Search The Retail Conference for more details.